You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
Michael, 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced them I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his stylish knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Planning a party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, good buddy. Well, weathering the storms, plural, with an S. We've had some casualties out here. As you know, Marco Bill, and for everybody around the globe, we've had this extreme heat wave going through the United States of America here. And it has been difficult. I know, difficult for us. What's it like for these heavy creatures, you know, and especially the ticks, the chiggers, the mosquitoes? It is unbearing, folks. You know, it's at 198 to 100 degrees, and then with the humidity factor, the whole full heat index is like 110. It's outrageous. You sweat, your pores are opened up. I mean, you're getting bit up like crazy. I've been festered up for 2 days because of, I counted them, I got 44 chigger bites, and they bit me up like you won't believe, in clusters, okay? In clusters, and it's unbelievable, folks. But you know, the job still goes on, and we still get out there. The guys did only about 3.5 miles today in the marsh out there in Lamar Point. But at the same point in time, it was like going through 15 miles due to the fact of the heat, the streaming heat. Timmy blazed the trail for the guys going through this stuff. Rocky, you know, brought the tail end up, and in between was TJ and Doc. And Doc got cut a bunch of times when he came back to the command post. He was bludgeoned up, you know, and this isn't for the weak at heart. I got to tell you, and everybody's going to tell you their story, okay? Believe me when I tell you, it's not easy. And we've started something new. TJ will go into it about the infrared and the thermal imaging that you guys will be able to see it on our Facebook account. Actual real time, folks. You will actually see them in the brush at nighttime. So how they see it, what they see it, and how they see it, and where and when, you're going to be right there with them. And it's going to be on our website. You'll be able to see that whole thing, too. I got to tell you, out of all my years doing this, I have never, ever, ever experienced such heat. Let me give you a good example. We were in Kentucky 4 days ago, 5 days ago. I don't even remember. Time has just gone crazy, crazy. But let me tell you what's happened. They had community picnics planned that they canceled due to the extreme heat. The heat, people keeling over, folks. That's how bad it's been, you know. You can go into these lakes and these ponds here where we're at in Texas. And oh, my God, it's like bath water. And the ones that are stagnant, look out, because you're going to come out of there riddled with all kinds of bites. It's been crazy, crazy, crazy. Before we get into our festivities tonight, folks, I want to put a shout out to a guy named Elijah. He owns a store called Golden Treasures. And boy, does he have the stuff that we all love. He's down there in Indiana. We met him down there in Jefferson, Indiana. He's at 3310 East 10th Street, Jefferson, Indiana. Elijah. He's got Golden Treasures. Yeah, he's got Golden Treasures, folks. But the stuff we loved was the stuff that you go bang, bang with. This guy had guns. He had machine guns, handguns, grenades, silencers, everything you'd love to own, okay, this guy's got. And boy, he's great to work with. So if you get out and you live in the vicinity of the Kentucky border and Indiana, it's called Golden Treasures, folks. X for Elijah. He's the one that owns the place. It's at 3310 East 10th Street in Jefferson, Indiana. That's right. 3310 East 10th Street in Jefferson, Indiana. It's called Golden Treasures. Go Google it. And just go in there and say that the folks from Bigfoot, Searching for Bigfoot, sent you. They'll give you a 10% discount. Now, without any further ado, folks, I'm going to pass this on to TJ, and he'll give you a brief overview of where we've been since last week and where we're going. So therefore, any people who are listening up in Utah, Washington, Portland, Oregon, around that area in Oregon or in Northern California, give us a jingle because we're on our way up there. And Montana, don't forget Montana. We're going to be up there with our brethren up in that area. So Utah, Montana, Washington, Oregon, Northern California, we're on our way. So if you've got some stories to share with us, something's going on with you that's hot with right now, well, you can have a visit by the A-team because we're coming up your way. Without any further ado, oh, wait a minute. I got to – there's a couple of guys that got their notches on their belts today. One happens to be, like, he's my brother. I've told you this before on the air. is good old Mr. Michael Green, the author of Sasquatch for Sale. Michael got his notches. He got his Boy Scout badge today. He was in that heat, and he survived that 100-mile march, believe me. The 100-mile march was only 3 or 4 miles, but it seemed like 100 due to the fact of the conditions and the weather and what have you. He came back a little bludgeoned up, but he made it, he survived it, and he's one of us. Without any further ado, the author of Sasquatch for Sale, Michael Green with a knee on the end. Mike, tell him your story.
Well, there's this Lake Macy, which is a rather odd lake up here in the northeastern portion of Texas, that was used, interestingly enough, as a practice for the Normandy invasion. And on one side of the lake, they built a whole lot of German cement bunkers and revetments and one sort of fortification after another. And the troops were brought here, and they would get in their landing craft and storm the beaches across this lake and storm up into these, quote, German fortifications. And they're still there. They're still there. So when you walk around over there, it's rather odd because you don't see this kind of thing unless you're in Normandy or Greece, perhaps, where these things still exist. Anyway, we took a hike along the side of the lake today, and as Tom said, it was horrible. It was just plain horrible. No other way about it. Sticky vines, brush, crap all over the place, and this heat was just never quit. And TJ, luckily being a former ranger, knew well enough to stop us every half an hour or so and insist that we each drink a whole bottle of water, which we did. And this went on and on, hour after hour after hour. And finally, unfortunately, we didn't find anything except, oddly enough, a large number of turtle shells that here and there you'd find them on the beach. And occasionally, you know, people will find a turtle shell. But here we were finding, we found maybe 10 or 15 over the course of our march, and we each collected one as a memento. Anyway, we finally got to the truck and had some more water, turned on the air conditioning, and came home. And I unfortunately discovered that I had gotten an irregular heartbeat, which is something I had last year, which was the predecessor of atrial flutter, which knocks you out. You don't even know you're knocked out. You wake up on the floor, and I ended up in the hospital getting defibrillated. It's called, I can't even remember what it's called now, but basically they knock you out and electric shock your heart back into rhythm. So not wanting to repeat that, because if that happens to me and I'm out in the middle of nowhere, I'm a dead man. I've had to unfortunately resign from the further expedition. I'm flying home tomorrow morning to North Carolina to see my cardiologist, and hopefully I'll get this straightened out. But his advice was that at 74 I was crazy to be doing this in the first place. So while I'll remain a part of the team, I may not be quite as active in the field as I had hoped. Let me now turn this over to TJ. TJ, are you there?
I'm here. You know, you're always part of the team, Mike. Don't you worry about it. You know, I have to say, and you know, I'm telling you the truth. I didn't think you'd make it, but you did. And, you know, that's like my dad said, you get a knock in your lipstick case. You know, you're a trooper. You're there. You're with us, and that's all that matters. You're part of the family, you know. Let's see here. We need to finish up from last week and let our listeners know what happened over there in Kentucky, Shepherdsville, with Pam. I think we left off with our last night. Well, we had two more nights there. But if you guys recall, we had gotten, Mike's a thermal expert. We have a recorder that would film all night. We baited our trees. And just to give you a picture of how we're baiting it, we take a Coke can or a pop can, and we will take peanut butter and pack it into the concave bottom of the pop can. and wrap it in pound peanut butter all around the outside. We'll take it to some string, thin string that nothing can actually climb down without breaking it. And we'll find a branch that's going probably 7 to 8 feet out off of a tree, and probably about the size of a big middle finger. But only a small animal could get to it, but wouldn't be able to get down the string, or a creature would have to reach up, grab it, and pull it down like an apple or pick it. We'd know, and we'd get it on camera. Well, the first night, our bait was gone. We went out there, the bait was gone, and we were like excited because we had a thermal imager filming all night long. And we grabbed that thermal imager, and Mike said we need about at least an hour of charging it to see what's going on. To our dismay, the battery died at about 4 to 5 o'clock in the morning, and we were like, weren't we, Mike?
Yeah, that seems to be the nature of electronics and Bigfoot hunting. If it isn't one goddamn thing, it's another. And for something to run out at 4 o'clock, okay, we had like 2 more hours of darkness, and whatever came then. But go on and tell them about what happened the next night.
Well, the second night we baited it up again, and, nothing happened. And then the third night we baited it, and we showed up the next morning, and we saw that our bait was gone. And it was strange this time because it wasn't the same as the first night where whatever it was that got to our bait the first night smacked the can a few times, and the can flipped around the branch that it was on. This time, the can was brought to the base of the tree, which was suspect. We didn't know what that was. But once we got home and reviewed the camera, we saw some small creature climbing up and bringing that can back over to the batch and cleaned that bait off of it. So that was Shepherdsville. That's where we were at. We actually just surmised that the creature obviously moved on or didn't want to associate with us as it was associating with the landowner. Since then, we've had several phone calls from her saying that the creatures were in her back area because we showed her how to bait and everything. She was actually giving them a lot of sweets, cinnamon rolls, honey buns, and peanut butter. And she actually said that she saw one that was kind of a reddish color. And I said, wow, I wish we could have been there. I go, did you get the film? She said, nope, she's getting a camera, so Mike. With her new phone, and she's going to try to get pictures of this red one that's been kind of traveling behind her house there. Timmy was with us when we went and searched the creek, the Salt River there. You still with us, Timmy?
I'm here.
All right. Why don't you tell the folks what you saw when we were down at the Salt River there, and what's your surmises of the whole situation when we were in Shepherdsville? Share a little bit different perspective for us.
Well, the Salt Creek looked a little low, and there was shale on all over the area where we were trying to search for prints. So I didn't pick up any prints, and I looked for them pretty well. There was only one little area that was a small tributary going inland a little bit, and I tried to get to it, but it was heavy brush in there, and I couldn't reach it. But everywhere I looked around there were no prints that I could find.
Well, that's the truth, and that's what we do here. We tell the truth. We were there. We heard the stories. We saw the area that the creature could be habitating in, could be living in, but most likely due to the extreme heat that's been going on here in the U.S., has moved north to cooler climate, which, in fact, if anybody was smart, they would, trust us. So we got a call while we were down there, and our contact in Mississippi had some creatures living on their land. And if you guys, whoever's listening, was following us, we found out how to, in Rocky, we're driving, and we got hours and hours and hours and hours of driving time down freeways, and I had been playing with this. I saw this little thing that said live Facebook, and I didn't know what that was. So I want to say it was, I don't even know what day it is anymore, Wednesday, so that would have been Monday, I think Monday, Tuesday, yeah, Monday, driving to Mississippi, we learned how to have Facebook Live. So you people out there understand this. This is going to be monumental because I don't think it's been done. We're going to be the first. And we figured out that we can transmit live through the phones while we're searching for Bigfoot day or night. And you folks out there that are have subscribed to searchingforbigfoot.com, or I'm sorry, Facebook's Searching for Bigfoot page, will get notifications saying that we went live. Now, folks, understand this. 90% of the time when we go live, something's going to be happening. So if you get the notification, log on in. Otherwise, we'll be just giving you an update, letting you know what's going on, and you can see all the live stuff from Mississippi. We also figured out how to hook up one of Doc's thermals to my phone, and we can actually show you guys while we're out there at night moving through the brush or in an LPOP, listening post, observation post, the thermal imaging pictures that we're showing. Let's see, I'm trying to remember some names. You can actually also comment and talk to us while we're doing it. I want to give a shout-out to Kian, a shout-out to Laura, Zeke, Mike, Fred, and whoever else I'm forgetting, I'm sorry, but those are names that stuck in my head right now. We had some winners that I put a couple contests together while we were out there. And when we're live, folks, so you know, I'm going to always have a contest. If we get 50 people logged in watching us live, I'm going to pick 2 to 3 people out of those, like a lottery, and I'm going to send you whatever Searching for Bigfoot movies that we've made over the past 8 years, Bigfoot Lives 1, 2, or 3, Hoax of the Century, Anatomy, Pursuit, you pick it, and I'll pick it out, and we'll let you know. You can get back to us, and we'll send us them off to you. Now, back to the Facebook Live. The nights we were out there, we first got out to Mississippi the first night. I want to say it was 11 p.m., so it was prime time. We had met with the host. They explained to us what was going on. Pretty much they were very fearful of what was going on. They didn't want to come out of their house. They even shared with us a recording of the creature behind their house screaming, and they recorded it while they were in their house, folks. Doc, when you heard that, I'm sorry, Michael, when you heard that recording, what went through your mind?
That's one of those howls that sounds sort of halfway between a human howl and a fire siren. And I've heard these before, and I'm sure everybody else has heard recordings like this before. They're very eerie because we humans can't reproduce that sound exactly, and a fire siren doesn't reproduce it either. But considering that this guy was sitting on the toilet with his phone in his hand when these howls went off through the walls of the house, they must have been pretty darn loud. But they were definitely what you would expect in the way of a Bigfoot howl.
Absolutely. I mean, I heard it, and I thought to myself, that's what I heard back when I was in Texas back in 2000 and, see, that would have been 2006.
Tom, DJ, can I interject something here?
Absolutely.
We missed two monumental things that we have not talked about, and we skipped over it. One happens to be the induction into the Bell County Museum.
Yeah.
And folks, to us, I believe it's on our website now, Searching for Bigfoot. And Marco, is it up there also on the Bigfoot Live Radio?
It's also on our Facebook also.
Okay, I wanted to see if Marco had it up too.
No, I don't have it yet.
You don't have the one we're on the steps of the museum, the whole picture of the guys?
Exactly. No.
Okay. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen,
I can get it, but I it's not ready yet.
Okay. So, but we did send it to you, correct?
No, it's in a box. Yes, I can get it.
Okay. So you've had it. All right. So my point being, ladies and gentlemen, remember the famous suit? that we paid $50,000 for that came out to $107,000 after the smoke cleared. We premiered that suit at the Bell County Museum, Historical Museum there, where they inducted us, and we had a great turnout. I want to thank William S. Trebell and his lovely bride, Phil, for their hospitality, for them introducing our work to their town and to the world now. So all of you people traveling through Kentucky, Middlesboro, Kentucky, you'll be able to go into that museum and actually see the real deal. That's right, the real costume that those clowns put together and bamboozled all of us with those different parts of the bodies that they had stuffed in it, and of course, in that big block of ice. You all remember it. It was Black Bigfoot Friday. And, wow, what a great turnout we had from the local people. And now I hope that they do a big, very big press release on this, because that museum is housing that suit. So if you want to get to see it up close and personal, take a picture with it, go over. That's where it's at. Number one, and we'll get to that, and I'll let TJ and the crew talk about that. There's one other thing that I thought is very monumental, is that Doc, he's become a brethren to all of us, and much so to myself. He told us of his trials and tribulations in his book. He's aired them on our show about the BFRO and the other organizations that are out there. But he finally has come out with the real deal 18 of searching for Bigfoot. And I would like for him to summarize this last 22 days, 3 weeks that he's been with us. What's the difference, Mike, if you'd be so candid and so honest, in what we do versus the BFRO and the rest of these people?
It's a combination of very, very, very long drives, like from Arizona to New Hampshire, nonstop. Can't get much longer than that. And then when you get there, you get rested up, cleaned up, and head out to whoever has provided us with some information for that area. And then we go out in the woods and actually look for sign and set up bait. Bait an area that looks hopeful, whether we find sign or not. Usually give that bait one night and then come back and set up the next night, spread out in a line, usually uphill of that bait, 100, 200 yards or so, where you can look down at it with night vision or thermals, and just sit and wait and hope that something's going to come. Now, when we went to New Hampshire, it was a good spot. It was a very good spot and with a lot of good stories. But when we set up at night, unfortunately, it was a gentle breeze blowing. And while it's nice, it wasn't so terribly hot. It kept us a little cooler. It was still kind of gross. But when you have a little breeze blowing through the woods, it creates just enough disturbance in the little branches. There's this constant sort of rustling and crackling in the background. So you can't really tell. It's not complete silence. It's just enough background noise so that if something is stealthily walking through the woods, unless they step on a big stick, you're not going to hear them. So we stayed out there for, 4 or 5 hours before we finally called it a night, because you just couldn't tell if something was coming or not. And we couldn't see anything through the thermals or the IR, so we had to call it a night. Anyway, that was sort of indicative of a typical night out with the Biscardi expeditions and moving on down to, quickly through Rhode Island, which turned out to not be what we hoped it would be. I may miss
it. Let me interject, please. This is getting to be redundant. What I want you to do in your own verbiage, your own words, what makes us different than the rest of these people, besides running rigorously and long drives and being uncomfortable and then getting there, resting and going out. Why are we different than the BFRO, than the Southern Bigfoot organizations, all these other people that you've uncovered as, to paraphrase you, full of shit, okay? That's what I want to hear from you in your words.
Well, it'll be short and sweet. We're out there, you're out there, we're out there doing it. We're doing it. We've got the technical skills, we've got the equipment, and we've got the heart behind it all. That's what makes us different. TJ, you want to jump in here for a sec?
Well, yeah, it's exactly what makes us different. I mean, we get out there and do it. Other places, other people, they're weekend warriors. They've got jobs. They got a life. This is a hobby for them. This is a pastime for them. We, on the other hand, this is a passion. This is a job. This is something that we do because we know it's out there, and if anybody's going to figure it out or uncover what's going on, it's going to be us. Because nobody else has the fancy toys, the money to back them up, and the time to do it. Okay? Their time is spent playing on the computer fighting with other Bigfooters about who got this and who got what. You know what? Let them do that. That's, in my words, what makes us different. Okay? And I haven't been in any of the organizations. I just get to watch what these people do sometimes on these internet blog sites, and they beat each other up to death. I mean, it's a joke. Okay? It's a complete joke. And if they all got off their butts and started cooperating with each other, maybe, just maybe, we could get this thing solved a lot sooner. But that ain't never going to happen because they're jealous. They're armchair quarterbacks. They're weak little crybabies that sit in their house and yell at the monitor instead of going out into the woods amongst the degrees of heat, the thorn bushes, the pricklies, the bugs, the snakes, the chiggers. Okay, they wouldn't do that. Most 90% of these freaks out there wouldn't last a day. Wouldn't have made today's march. Okay, they would have cried and whined and sat down and said, "Please call me an ambulance." That's what makes us different. That's what I see in my eyes.
You know, and TJ, you're so true, and as well as you are, Doc, and you've experienced it. You've earned your merit badges with us, definitely, and you're a great, great addition to our organization. I'd like to bring in Rocky. Rocky is the pillar of salt. Here's a man that there is no dictionary that can define who he is and what he does. I don't think there's a word anywhere in those dictionaries or encyclopedias or Google and all the other things out there in the world. He is just Rocky Slagans, okay? Mm-hmm. He's a guy that he gets determined. He's got that drive and determination, and he just sets out like an old blue tick hound, and he doesn't care who's out there, what's out there, what the weather is like. He just sets out on that trail, and he tries to figure it out. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the Rocky Slavens.
Hey, Tom.
Tell everybody, you know, I mean, and listen, you did the 126, what is it, how many miles did you walk?
Well, it was 185 miles as the crow flies, but the best anybody could figure is about 225 miles.
And it took you how many months?
30 days.
30 days. Wow.
Cross country through the Ozark National Forest.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us your take on where we've been, where we've experienced, and go into this bit about the weather that we've all been experiencing, you know, and how with the wear and tear on a person's body that you go through here. My God. It's just crazy hell.
You know, that's why I have nothing but respect for Tom Green. He's the oldest one of us, and I was back there with him. I mean Mike Green. I'm sorry, but he was there with us step for step. Of course, I had to take two for every one of his because my pockets are closer to the ground than his. But anyhow, the weather, describe it. Okay. Hell. That's how I describe it. It was so hot. It was so hot, but I don't know if hell has that kind of humidity, but it was granted, the walk seemed a whole lot further than it was just because of the heat, the humidity, the bugs, the conditions were not conducive to a pleasant walk. But and then again, you know, it's one of those things that everybody thinks that, okay, this time it's going to happen. When it doesn't, there's a lot of disappointment and all that, but, you know, you got to get over the heat, you got to get over the humidity, you got to get over the disappointment, because there's always tomorrow night, and tomorrow night's going to be the night.
You know, Rocky, you just said something that's a monumental statement. Let me tell you the reason why. Because we're motivated, we're self-motivated, ladies and gentlemen, and we don't know what's around that next corner. We don't know what's over that next hill. We don't know if the grass is greener. And you know what? Every call that we get, we consider it a legitimate call, because you never know until you go out there and actually turn that rock over to see what's underneath. Without any further ado, I want to get out to one of our newest guys who come back, but yet he's one of the oldest guys who started with me 10 years ago, our specialist in cast preparation and whether or not determining it's a real deal or a fake one, Tim McMillan. Tim, you out there?
Yeah, Tom, I'm here.
Tell the listening audience around the globe, Timmy, about the trials and tribulations of Bigfoot hunting across this nation on a daily basis.
Well, it's far much more than anybody could imagine it cracked up to be. There's a lot of things involved here. The weather just being one of many different things. There's all kinds of hazards, snakes, bugs, what other things, you know, there's wild boar that you got to watch out for. There's any number of different animals and creatures that can come out of the wild besides who we're looking for. It's pretty awesome out there. You never know what's around the next corner. And you must be prepared at all different times for anything. And especially being point man, you really must watch out. You can't be unprepared. You have to watch your steps and use a walking staff, I suggest, to anybody to shake and rattle the bushes in front of you as you go along. Keep your eyes open and peeled and turn on that sixth sense that all human beings have, and tune in to what's around you in the wild, because believe me, you never know.
You're exactly right, Tim, and thanks for your 2 cents. TJ, let's give you the, well, first of all, Bill, why don't we go to commercial?
Okay, here we go.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that? He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotti and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, after listening to that little ditty, it brought chills down my spine because the majority of that vignette that you just heard was from where we're at right now and where it all started for me and my team 10 years ago. This is our 10th year anniversary, folks, that we've been here in this area, and it's never failed us in the past. We don't know where we're going to encompass tomorrow. The heat is extreme. Like I told you, where we were, my gosh, you know, the community picnics in these towns are being discontinued and delayed, and they're canceling them because people are dying of heat prostration. It's crazy, 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 okay? But we're out there doing what we say we're going to do, okay? We're heel and toeing it down that road. We're rolling down that road. That's the way we do roll. And upon any type of tip-offs that we get from you, John Q. Public, you're the ones that tip us off to what's going on. You're the ones that have had this experience. So therefore, I'm going to remind you one more time before I turn you back to TJ, anybody up in Utah, anybody up in Montana, anybody up in Washington, Oregon, and Northern Cal, you have had any recent encounters or experiences with this unknown creature called Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Uma, forest people, and it goes on and on and on, okay? Give us a call. Contact us. Send us an email. You may be the next lucky person. We just got a call from Virginia, where a man is fears for his family's life and our life, okay? I mean, his life. And he needs somebody to come out there. So, of course, we're going to get the people that we have in that area to go out and investigate. That's what we do, folks, okay? That's exactly how we roll. I'm going to call it a night because I got to bandage my wounds, but it's been a hoot. It really has, and my team has just been overjoyed to be back together. And I know there's so many out there wishing that they were with us. So I'm going to say so long till next time. Hand it over to TJ and the rest of the crew on the final behalf. And thank you for all of your support. Bye-bye.
And just to reiterate what my father was talking about, we are the Bigfoot response team. We're the BRT. If you've got a sighting, if you've got you want to talk to somebody about it, we're on the road. We'll come to you if we deem that, you know, you're not bulling us, okay? We will drive to where you live. We will help you investigate. We will try to solve your mystery and, well, make you feel better. So give us a call, 415-518-8494 or 606-620-6667. Well, I digress. Let's go back to Mississippi here, and we'll just kind of fill you folks in on our last stop and get y'all caught up to speed. We had a response. We had a call. The creature was habitating in their area. moving around through their 47 acres, howling, scaring their dogs, coming up and pounding on the side of their house. Well, she was fearful. So we came. We rolled up into the situation in the spot the first night and surveilled and walked the area and kind of got our feet wet of how the area was. And then we made a game plan. And, Doc, if you're still with me, why don't you go ahead and explain our game plan since, you know, you're the new guy and see what you thought about it, how we did it and how we set in and what we did.
I certainly will. The trailer these people lived in backed up onto their 47 acres and then just a whole lot of other forest. I mean, where their land began and others ended, you really couldn't tell. And it didn't matter. But a few hundred yards behind their house, there was that's something of an exaggeration. It was a low hill running along parallel to the wood line, which was about maybe 100-200 yards from it. And when we went out the first night, we were sort of stumbling around in the dark, but we found this ridge, and we walked up on it, and we realized that we had, once you're on top of that ridge, you could look down into these woods, and you could see a long way down into the tree line. And it was a good place. It was a good, clear field of fire and a good place to bait. So we made it.
Let me jump in there real quick, Doc.
Yeah.
What kept us there for the next 2 days? What did we hear that one night that we couldn't explain?
That's right. That's right. I'd forgotten about that. That first night, just as we were, it was pretty late at night, too. We were about to pack up because it was hot. And we heard a heavy breathing. I mean, somewhere off in the dark behind the house. It didn't sound like anything else that I've ever heard, except maybe that night when I heard that Darth Vadering breaths over my tent. It wasn't that loud, but it was a lot further away. And we also heard a grunty snort noise, which is kind of hard to describe, which might have been a deer. You couldn't tell. But the breathing certainly wasn't a deer, and we only heard a couple of big breaths, and then it stopped. And we looked around at the thermals, and we couldn't see anything. But when you get a little sort of taste of that, it whets your appetite. So when we went back the next night, we were really anxious to have something going. At the bottom of the ridge where the forest ran, Tim set up a number of cans with peanut butter on them and some glow sticks and threw a whole lot of sardines around to really smell up the place. At that time, the wind, we stationed ourselves spread out along the top of the ridge line on the military crest, which is just behind the ridge so that you can just peek over and look down. And we were spread out along there, Rocky and TJ and myself, with walkie-talkies and thermals and night vision and our rifles. And hoping that the wind, which was at that time from our backs, would blow this smell back into the woods and the country behind it. And we waited there for hours and hours and hours, punctuated by TJ going live onto Facebook and being able to use his phone and one of the little handheld thermals I gave him to actually give live thermal images from the field, which is a really cool idea. I mean, you never know what you're going to see with a thermal until you see it. And he went around and interviewed each of us and scanned the woods with the thermal repeatedly. And finally, around 2 or 3 in the morning, we said we just weren't getting anything. It was a nice, still night. You could hear a long way, but we weren't hearing anything at all. So we finally called it a night. And it was, once again, it was one of those hot, sticky nights, and we were really glad to finally get back in the car or the truck, turn on the air conditioner, and head for the motel. TJ?
Yeah, well, you know, we do it with military precision. We do it the right way. We do it the correct way. You know, we set up our LPOP, which was our listening post that was 500 yards to our left, scanning the area out of our field of fire so that when what we drew out of the wood line would have came up to the bait and then would have had to move up towards the ridge towards us. That just gives you folks an idea on the thought process of when we're out here looking for this creature and we're getting to somebody's house and they're telling us this is A is what's happening. So that's one of our procedures there to bring it in to say it's okay, come on. Because if it's there, we want it to come in. Isn't that correct, Doc?
It certainly is. Certainly.
Now,
is.
Rocky, go ahead.
I just wanted to say I had forgotten to give credit where it's due here to Tommy, who was off with that LP off to our left flank with the bionic ear listening for us. And every hour or so, you'd give him a radio check if nothing had happened, just to make sure that everybody was alert, which they were. But he didn't hear anything either. Back to you.
Rocky, I'd like to get your point of view of what we figured out and how what we decided was going on the property and how, where we left it with the property owner.
Well, when we finally discussed it all, it was pretty obvious to us that, you know, it being a migrational thing, that probably due to the heat, it had moved out of the area. We sat up all night till I thought I was going blind in my left eye trying to watch through the thermal. Mike was up the hill above me doing the same. You was marching back and forth trying to keep everything coordinated. Tim, the trailblazer down there, with the ears on. And then just like I was saying earlier, you know, we thought, okay, you know, tonight's the night. Well, yeah, we were disappointed, but we were undaunted.
Undaunted, great, correct word. You know, people think this is a glorious job, but they have to understand that most of the time, nothing happens. But like my father said, you got to turn over the rocks. You've got to go. You got to get in the vehicles. You got to move to the location. You got to interview the witnesses. You got to decide if it's credible enough to A, commit 2 or 3 days of a company our time in investigating what's going on. You know, this is what we do. And if that's something that you want to do, go ahead, Rocky.
Like you were saying, you know, people get the idea, oh, this is a glorious thing and all that. They need to get out and let the chiggers chew on them on a hot night. Trying to stay awake, you're already tired from driving miles and miles, hours after hour. You're driving from one place to the other. You get there, you rest, but you don't get rested. You go out there and you spend the entire night sitting up, waiting and hoping. Then when nothing happens, okay, you grab a few winks. You get some more chigger bites, mosquitoes are buzzing you. It's if that's glorious, I guess I read the Webster's Dictionary wrong, but anyhow, we're doing it. You know,
yep.
The glory, well, maybe that'll come later on. I don't know, but
that glory is going to come when we figure out and we capture or find or make an end to this mystery. That's when the glory comes. Because remember, with hard work comes reward. Okay?
Absolutely.
And anybody that's on our team is going to reap the rewards of their hard work. And with that in mind, send your resumes to BigfootTJ@yahoo.com if you want to become a part of the BRT or Bigfoot response team, if you've got what it takes to get out there and do the job. Give us a call. Send a resume. You might get a little response back with, hey, let's have an interview. Hey, Timmy, you still there?
I'm here.
You know, let's talk about, you've been back now with us a month. What's your thought?
Well, it's like old home week here in Parrish, Texas. I just love this town. It brings back a lot of great old memories, that time when we made you a believer, I believe, that night when you said, I'm going to go pull a mask and costume off of this thing, and you didn't believe, and you went chasing it through the swamp yourself. And that creepy
indeed.
And looked back at all of us, and we were looking through the IR at him, or the thermal imager, and it was just like daylight. You could see him staring back at us, and he was just standing there looking back at us, that creature. And that was the same time that I was able to cast those 56 prints for our company. And now we've got a great set of all different kinds of prints. We got enough prints now. I just look for when the prints are in the ground. That tells me that the creature is around.
Absolutely. You know, and those prints are all going to different museums. And like my father said, you know, the Bell County Historic Museum has the suit. I stood over in a freezer with a sledgehammer busting ice to get out once we realized it wasn't the creature.
Nope.
And that creature is there in that museum. You need to go visit it. You need to go check it out. This is the same suit that Dyer and Witten said they had, which they didn't. And they tried to sell it on eBay. I think it was $258,000 was bid up to, until they realized, well, it was a hoax again with them, you know. But that suit is there with prints, everything in Kentucky, all finds in Kentucky. I promised the curator there that we're going to take back and put into their museum. And, you know, well, that's the way it should be. We give it back to the community.
Tommy, can I say something?
Go ahead.
Okay. We're here in Parrish, Texas. I haven't been here since I was a little boy, and we didn't even stop then. But I came back with the Bigfoot boys. We went out to eat. When we got done eating and we're getting ready to leave, the entire waitstaff from the restaurant followed us out to the truck. Everybody just dying to get a big group picture.
Yeah.
Okay. Was it Sizzle and Sirloin?
Right here last night.
Wasn't that the name of it, the Sizzle and Sirloin?
Right next door. Stockyard. Well, shout out to the Sirloin Stockyard here in Parrish, Texas.
Sirloin Stockyard.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that was the funniest thing, being a restaurant owner. That was the funniest thing I've ever seen while I was out doing this, because these people, they just dropped everything. The customers were left completely alone inside the restaurant, and they could come in and get a picture with it.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Folks, we're getting near that time. I want to reiterate, we're coming to Montana. We're going to Utah. We're going to be in Washington. We're going to be in Oregon. Call the BRT, Bigfoot Response Team. Let us know what's happening. We'll come by and visit you. We'll help you investigate. That's what we do. That's why we're here. We'll help you get some closure. And with closure in mind, Marco Bill, take it away. See you guys next week.
Okay, everybody, we'll see you next week. Keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. Take
care.
Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, mystery, legend, tales, and facts.